Tuesday, December 12th, 2017, 5:30 p.m., calling to order the December meeting of the Board of Fire Commissioners, Cotuit Fire District. Is anyone recording? Amy Cates signals she is recording. First item, public comment. Is there any public comment? No public comment.
Excuse me. Amy Cates just indicated she's recording and she did not turn on the recorder. So we've had this question before whether or not she has it running prior to a meeting.
It's been running for 36 seconds. I believe that's probably how long we've been in the meeting.
You do not turn the recording on until you have announced it to the meeting. That's the district attorney's interpretation of the law. Otherwise, you're in violation of recording without announcement. We've talked about it before. How tough is this?
No, as soon as the meeting, I'm sorry, Cindy. Oh, Jesus.
Okay, Cindy.
Public comment?
Cynthia Gardner, 94 School Street. This is ridiculous. You are supposed to ask if there's recording prior to opening the meeting. As soon as you open the meeting, she turned on her recording, which is in recordings of the law. So let's move on.
You're welcome to your own interpretation, but that's not the interpretation I received. Going forward, when I ask if you're going to be recording, you're welcome to turn the recorder on. Next item of business is review and approval of previous meetings, minutes. We have all had a chance to look at the minutes of November 14th, 2017. Are there any corrections or problems with them?
None.
And I move that we accept the minutes as printed.
Second.
In favor, Pisano.
Zace.
Conley.
We will sign these and give them to you, Chief. We also have the collected minutes of our executive session meetings during contract negotiations. These are dated the sessions for July 10th, July 25th, July 27th, September 14th, September 18th, September 26th, November 16th, and we also have, where's that last one? The final meeting of the committee, November 20th. Commissioner Conley, you and I were members of that committee. You've had a chance to review these as well as I have.
Yes, I have. There.
Any problems?
None at all.
I move that we accept them as written.
Second.
In favor, Pisano.
Conley.
Zace.
Chief, I'll leave these for you. Next item is the Chief's report, starting with monthly activities.
We responded to a total of 55 responses in October. 38 were medical, 2 were hazardous condition, and 15 were service, good intent, or false alarms calls.
Okay. We also, in this period, had Christmas in Cotuit, which I was unable to attend because I was away. How'd it go?
It went well. The Firemen's Association did chili at the fire station, brought Santa in by boat, and then picked him up by fire engine later in the afternoon. Well attended, quite a crowd, a lot of kids and families.
Good. We got him safely back to the North Pole?
We did, yes. Yep. Okay.
Very good.
And the Chief did a nice job in conjunction with his team on the chili.
Jim LaGuerre was the lead guy in the chili, and I just followed and did what he told me to do, and he did a great job.
Good. And we had no subsequent medical calls?
No. Brendan Hill was also a big help making the chili, so.
Good. ComStar report.
The ComStar report's attached. Nothing out of the ordinary, normal billing cycle. I also wanted to discuss billing options. I've contacted 2 other billing companies. So currently ComStar charges us 5.5% of our total revenue is what they take for a fee. For that money, they perform billing, and that's all they do for the 5.5% is their billing for us. We contacted two other companies. One was ambulance medical billing out of Kentucky. They offered us a rate of 4% and would give us free computers to use in the ambulance. So two computers to use in our ambulance for our patient care reports. They said they would also do QI, QA, so quality improvement, quality assurance, reviews our medical calls, and the free computers for the 4%. They are out of Kentucky, though, so the QA, QI, I've got a little question as to about how they can quality control Massachusetts standards from Kentucky, so I don't know exactly how that would work. The third company I contacted was Pro EMS. They're out of Cambridge, Massachusetts. They offered 4% of billing as a fee, and for that they do the billing, they do QA, QI, so quality improvement, quality assurance. They do customer surveys for all of our patients, and they compile reports on a monthly basis for those. They give us free computers for the trucks. I think that's the extent of their services for the 4%. I've called several Massachusetts fire departments that are using them right now. They are all extremely happy with them. They said most of them came from ComStar, our current provider, and they said their return rates have increased. So their collections have gone up with billing with Pro EMS. They are known to be one of on the forefront of EMS in Massachusetts. They do private ambulance rescue contracts, paramedic intercept services. They're well known throughout the state for their being on the cutting edge of EMS. They also offer EMS training. So as a separate service, they would offer us an EMS training module. So it's online a product called Prodigy. It provides 50 hours a week of live EMS classes, interactive classes that our firefighters can take in the fire station on duty. This will enable them to recertify their paramedic EMT certificates over their two-year recert period without or not going to overtime as much. So right now, to send a paramedic to a DOT class costs us about $4,000, and that's a biannual cost for every paramedic. So this service is available for $150 per year per person. So it's a very inexpensive service that could save us a huge amount of money.
So that eliminates the need to...
Well, it reduces it. Okay. There is going to be still some training that needs to get done. Bill Mergendahl, the CEO of Pro EMS, his theory on management and training is he would rather take the routine, everyday, biannual training and make it cost-effective, easy for his medical staff. So he has them do this online training at work. It doesn't cost them anything. And then he uses this training money to bring him in for the important stuff, the Crike training, what he called HALO, high acuity, lower currents calls. So the really important stuff. In our case, it would be, things like Crike training, things like live fire training, to more efficiently use our funds. And as part of that, I'm asking tonight if you would okay a EMS officer position for the department. It would be a paramedic firefighter currently hired that would have the responsibilities of performing the EMS functions, which are not adequately covered right now. So we had we had Cape and Islands EMS send a representative in to do an audit of our department to see what regulations and regulatory requirements are being fulfilled adequately right now. There are numerous regulatory requirements for medications, equipment, training. He went over all that and identified a long list of recommendations. Unfortunately, I'm one person. I don't have the time to fill all these requirements along with the chief's job at the same time.
Can I interrupt for 1 second?
Absolutely.
You were talking about Pro EMS.
Yes.
And now we just went into...
I'm sorry. Yeah, I skipped over. So... Pro EMS, the training option, the training module for Pro EMS gives us the ability to save a significant amount of money, which I'm hoping that you will use for this other request. So back to billing, there are the three billing companies. Pro EMS offers the most service for the least amount of money, and I've gotten significant, really good reviews from the other fire departments.
So your recommendation, I'm assuming here, is to go with Pro EMS?
My recommendation is to go with Pro EMS.
And that would mean we would cancel our contract with Comstar?
Right, we've got a 30-day exit
is that
policy
what the, I was supposed
from
about
Comstar.
To ask.
Okay. So my recommendation for you is we cancel with Comstar and go to Pro EMS. Hyannis Fire has just done that in the last couple of months. There are several. I talked to Acton Fire. They've had them for a couple of years now. They're
so
very happy
have,
with them.
You did have a chance to talk to a few departments?
I did. I called Acton, Concord. I'm trying to think of the other ones I called. Plymouth, I think. I called three or four or five off-Cape departments because they're the only ones right now. Hyannis is the first on-Cape department that is using them.
Okay.
And they were all had nothing but good things to say about them.
So the amount that they charge us for doing this is a one percentage point lower. And
1.5. We're paying 5.5 now.
Okay.
We're dropping to 4.
My apologies.
Right?
Yep. You've heard instances of other districts or departments that have their collections have actually increased.
Yes.
It's interesting. Must be something about how they do that.
I'm not 100%
well,
sure.
Well, it would be 1.5% higher, even if they do the same thing.
Right. That's part of it. I've talked the other billing company I talked to said that they all kind of do the same thing. No matter which billing company we go with, they're all using the same software products, doing it basically the same way. They're all using the same tricks and the same billing methods. So I was surprised to hear that they're collecting more, but they.
Well, I mean, it could be personnel. But, okay, so remind me if. In a given year, what is that 1.5% essentially?
I think we're talking close to $200,000 a year, right? So what is it? 1% is 2,000, right? So we're talking $3,000 a year. So that could be about $3,000 more there. They're giving us two free computers for our trucks. That's probably another $4,000. The QAQI right now that's getting fulfilled by Cape and Islands EMS. There's some question about what their future is going to be and whether we're going to have them for in the future, so that helps make us more secure in that area.
Okay, and the you mentioned also that the reduction in potential reduction in sort of these twice yearly training
right.
can be. While it's not nothing, the online training is included, or is it?
No, the online training is a separate module. It's a separate service. So for $1,950, the department would be able to use their service as a yearly fee. Like I said, every one person that doesn't take the DOT saves us $4,000. So.
Okay.
Not any other questions?
No, I can move on now, or you can.
Well, I would entertain a motion to give notice to Comstar on our 30-day exit and move forward to authorize the chief to sign us up with Pro EMS.
Yeah, second.
Any discussion? All in favor? Pisano?
Zace?
Conley.
Okay, chief.
Sounds like a good option for us, chief.
Can we talk about the EMS officer now? Is that appropriate?
Yep.
Or? Okay. I apologize for jumping forward to that without finishing the other issue first. So this new training options will save us a significant amount of money. And as I said, we had an audit done by an independent, the Cape and Islands EMS. They came in and they found there's room for improvement. We've had ambulance inspections over the past couple of years that have shown room for improvement. There are regulatory issues that aren't getting done effectively. I don't have the time to do it. Most departments have an administrative staff much larger than ours. West Barnstable Fire does less calls than we, and they've got a full-time chief, full-time deputy, EMS officer, and I believe it's a full-time administration person. I know Barnstable Fire is a little bit bigger. They've got a full-time chief, full-time deputy, EMS, and I think two admin people. Comm Fire's got like 10. We know we can be more efficient, but we're just... We need a little bit more help to get these regulatory responsibilities done. increase the training for EMS to make sure we're meeting all the requirements. And to do that, we believe the most effective option is to use one of our existing staff, our existing paramedic firefighter, do an interview process, promote one of them to the administrative position of EMS officer. They would attend monthly meetings to Cape and Islands EMS training and ops, and they would meet with the other three groups when they're off duty, so on overtime, to pass the information on to them and to train them in new techniques and training and issues, and to do QA, QI with them to address any deficiencies or improve quality in their treatment protocols. It would be a 115% of base, which is in between what a lieutenant and a paramedic would be, right in the middle, which is less than other departments. Barnstable Fire is at 8%, so we're less than other places. Some of the responsibilities should still be shared by myself and by Chris Dolly. So between the three of us, we would get the job done. It would be, we're guessing, in the neighborhood of 10 hours a month of overtime, in addition to the 5% bump in pay.
Now, as I understand it, Chief, that the reason you sort of lumped all these things together is that they're connected.
They are connected, yes.
And the pitch that you're making is that this is a revenue-neutral
It's decision. A revenue-neutral. It won't cost us any money. We should save, you know, at a minimum of $20,000 a year with this new training module. This EMS officer should cost us somewhere around $10,000 a year. So it gives us the ability to be better trained, more effectively meet regulatory requirements, and be more efficient. That's the idea behind it.
Yeah.
I prepared a memorandum of understanding that the district lawyer has reviewed and made sure it's legally sound.
You and I had a chance to talk about this. I've read the report. I read your proposal. A thorough job.
I also read the report of the compliance review by KPMS, and it was of concern, the range of activities that we are marginal on. So I think
that concerned me as well.
This would be a potentially pretty useful step. Chief, have you gotten a sense of the interest on the part of our current staff?
Yeah, there are several, I believe, staff that are interested in it. I had made one change that your copy of doesn't have. I reduced it from a 5-year requirement to a 3-year minimum full-time staff on the department to be qualified. So that increases the amount of people that are qualified for the position, so we have more choice as to who we pick. The interview committee we made up by the fire commissioners, myself, and a member of the union.
Chief, when is our certification for the ambulance due up again?
I believe they come back in the spring. I think maybe May. Sound right? I think it's May they come back. So we've got time. Cape and Islands EMS came over, spent half a day with us. They're willing to come back and help more. So the other departments are chipping in and helping us out. And
so
just need a little bit more help.
We anticipate your theory is this position will help us get to the point where we need to be for that inspect, for that next certification.
Definitely will. Yeah, we want to be proficient when they come. We want to be proficient before they come back to inspect us as soon as we possibly can be. These challenges have been here for I think a lot of years. That there hasn't been the administrative time to effectively deal with some of these issues. So that's what we're trying to fix here.
Got it. Thank you.
So we have the interest and the local is on board.
Yes.
Do we have the funding in the budget for Chief?
We do. We do have the funding in the budget. It would. It's just the overtime money that would be used for training is now used for salary, partially for salary and partially for overtime for the EMS officer position.
Okay. As I understand it, again, just to be clear, the actual and potential savings of the going to pro EMS is coupled with the increase.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, we wouldn't.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. And I'm not I'm not saying we're going to save a ton of money. I'm saying that we're going to use any savings to make us better trained.
Yeah, the combination is revenue neutral.
I believe it's going to be revenue. It will be a revenue. It will be a revenue neutral.
Budget neutral.
Budget neutral proposal. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And that issue would have to be re-examined by us going forward as we move toward the beginning of drafting fiscal 18's budget. So the sooner that we put this two steps together with the shift in agency and the development of this program, we can see how it runs.
Right.
In light of that, I will make a motion to accept this proposal. The creation of an EMS officer position as described in the document submitted by the chief. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any other discussion?
No.
All in favor? Pisano?
Zace.
Conley.
Carried.
If you want to spend an hour, when we get to it.
Same pen.
Don't keep the pen.
Okay.
I'll try not.
All right. The next category is budget review. We have.
Thank you, Chief.
We have a report from the treasurer through the month of November. We will be getting the updated one through the first week in December shortly, but it wasn't available for tonight. I reviewed these categories, and I do not have any particular questions of concern. The repairs and maintenance in the building category up at just under 70%. Are we still in the business with that fence and those trees and stuff?
I don't know any issues with the fence and trees. Between the two district properties, we haven't talked about moving trees yet.
Okay.
We're waiting to see what happened with the district property. We have had made a significant investment in the facility over the last couple of months. We just had a pressure wash, the week before Sieta came, just to make it like presentable for the public because it was turning green. We've had a lot of electrical work done to the building. Almost all the lights had come close to failing. The ballast had failed. So most of the lights in the station, all the lights have been transferred to LED lighting, which was a significant amount of money. Trying to think what else. It feels like we've had workmen coming and going on a regular basis. AC system has failed once or twice.
The outside door stuff,
the garage doors
the
are replaced.
Yeah. Okay.
And next year we're going to be looking at a new roof, so we're just kind of catching up.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Yep.
The only thing that jumped out at me, Chairman, is the 911 there were a few things, but the 911 dispatch seems like we haven't gone through much of the year yet, but we're...
It gets paid in a lump sum.
Oh, is that what it is?
It's a one-time fee. Yeah,
okay.
It's the same
Thank
fee
you.
It was last year. It didn't go up. It's exactly the same number it was last year.
Okay.
We pay that to Comfire for their dispatch services.
Thanks for clarification.
Next item is return of funds. We had received an authorization last year to expend up to a maximum of $50,000 to rehab our older vehicle, to prolong its life, and to try to space out replacement interval. It turns out we have spent very little of that. Were any of those?
No, none of the funds were expended.
So we were able to do all the necessary rehab on it out of operating funds. So we will be in a position of returning those funds to the district. And after conversation with treasurer, I would move to agree to return those funds to the district as soon as possible.
Second.
In favor? Pisano?
Zeis.
Conlon.
Okay. If you will notify the treasurer chief.
Next
category are legal expenses.
Sorry, one more issue is the budget real quick. I just thought of it as I was sitting here. The retro, the new contract that was signed, the retro numbers have been calculated and paid out. The new pay rates for the next 3 years have been calculated between the treasurer and myself, so that's all been done as well.
Good. And it was in line with what we were...
It was exactly in line, yeah.
Great.
Yep.
Next category in budget is legal expenses.
So legal expenses, can we take that?
Yeah.
Legal expenses, open meeting law expenditures, year to date. So year to date they are...
Are we calendar year or fiscal year?
Calendar year. Calendar year to date are... $19,935.42.
And fiscal year?
I didn't have it calculated that way.
Okay.
You have to give me a minute to recalculate it, I guess.
As I recall, when we corrected the September minutes on this thing, there are two issues involved. Let me clarify them now. That... the second half of fiscal year are we in? This drives me nuts.
18.
We're in 18. The second half of fiscal 17
right.
occupied about 7,000, I won't get it exact, but it was 7,000 plus of that total.
But we corrected the minutes.
And we did. I just don't have a copy of them in front of me, or I could give you the exact number. And the second factor in that, Chief, you had referenced this expenditure as OML, but we
yes.
had clarified that this the various
right.
invoices covered OML, AGs, the Attorney General's Office, the Inspector General's Office, records requests.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, those are all in here.
Right. Okay.
So I apologize.
So
the title was open meeting law. The, right. the categories
right.
include
so.
IG, records requests, and open meeting law.
Right. The action that we took earlier to direct a response to the Inspector General's office has been submitted. They have it. We have not received any response to date on it.
I've got the fiscal number. You want the fiscal year?
Yeah.
Fiscal year is $16,197.92.
Okay.
That was fiscal 17?
Fiscal 18.
No, fiscal 18, so far, thus far. Right.
Yep. Okay.
And do we account for union negotiation?
The separate category.
Separate category?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Personnel.
So we've got one firefighter currently on FMLA, concurrent with sick time. He's been on sick time for 3 weeks and will be transitioning to vacation time. He met the legal requirement for FMLA and the standard for sick time usage.
What was the illness, or?
I can't say that here.
Okay.
HIPAA violation.
Right, okay. Silly of me for asking. I forgot about the HIPAA thing.
Yeah.
So, but we'll get into the FMLA in a minute, I suppose.
EMS officer went over, personnel.
You had.
So when we talked, and I've been reading more than I'm now only a little bit dangerous with the statute, but as I understand it, the test to meet the standard, if you will, or the statute is it has to be, if it's your own illness, it has to be the medical care has to be certified. There's a lot of oversight that anyone granting this under the FMLA and sick time has to be serious illness. It's not like the flu. So
correct.
Is this an injury that was a line of duty injury?
No, it was not a line of duty.
Okay.
So FMLA is a federal law, and there are requirements, specific federal requirements of when you are qualified for FMLA. And they include childbirth, adoption, foster care adoption, serious health condition of spouse, child, parent, the employee's own serious health condition, care for covered service members and veterans who incurred a serious illness or injury in the line of duty. Any qualifying existing, I don't know what that is. There's a whole list. This is the
right, and they,
there's
and
a whole list in the federal law that says this is what you qualify for FMLA, and that qualifies you for 12 weeks of unpaid time.
But conversely, or on the other hand, it also mentions that qualification is subject to review by, in this case,
yes.
You, around it, because there are things that you also can't qualify for. One of the things that's, as I understood it, was pretty important is that it's ongoing. It's essentially not routine illnesses, but it's something that is to a degree catastrophic in some fashion.
Correct.
Where you're being cared for by someone that you have to essentially prove the person who's ill is to prove that they're going to see seek medical care and so forth. Do we? And perhaps you're going to get into this with the policy or the proposal that you're going to talk about instituting a policy. But are we satisfied that that's happening here?
In this case, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. No, we're meeting the federal law. There is no issue with that. We do need a policy. The fire department doesn't currently have a written policy on FMLA usage. The district does not have one. I think it makes sense for, at a minimum, the fire department to have a policy, possibly the district. And I've talked to the prudential committee, or member of prudential committee, and whether we want to engage the district in coming up with a district-wide policy. That's up to you.
Yeah, no, you know I'm in favor of that.
Right.
Yeah.
So I did bring a draft policy, and it's a copy of the Town of Barnstable policy. Edited to with our department information. The policies are different throughout the state. The major differences are that I've found are mainly whether or not you're allowed to use sick time concurrent with FMLA. And it's many of them do. When I worked in Nantucket, that was that sick time usage concurrent with FMLA was allowed. The state of Massachusetts allows it for state employees. Barnstable allows it for the most part. It's a complicated issue. There's a lot of, you've got a lot of options on where we go with this. A lot of it there's no choices. And if the person is sick, then they're allowed to use sick time concurrent with FMLA. And there are some, like I said, the sick time usage for childbirth is a little variable across the state. So it's a complicated issue, and I don't know if you want to get
into
that. Well,
no, as I understand it, the FMLA is not a the statute, the act had nothing to do with how you pay for it. It's if you're out, you can come back to your job if you're not like the boss, and if it met some of those tests, like you're out because you have cancer or something,
right?
Then the paid leave under FMLA can be essentially paid for by however your, that happens. In this case, we're
governed by a collective bargaining agreement, and it's the sick time, right? And when that's consumed, if you're still out, it's unpaid FMLA leave, meaning you can still come back. Your job doesn't.
Oh, absolutely. I think this, for the most part, there's nobody that gives you, after you exhaust your paid leave balances, you become unpaid. I think that's
right.
That's always the case that I've seen.
Everything that I can read is it was about protecting the job.
Yes.
And as opposed to how that the time off gets paid for, whether it's consumed.
Or not.
Yeah, right. Or not.
Right. Now, there's also Mass General law that the Attorney General has issued an advisory on that also expands upon this and provides for additional leave and provides for the option of using sick time and or vacation time accrued for a broader range of categories than the federal law. So our state has more liberal provisions on an add-on. In light of this, I don't believe we do ourselves best service to try to formulate a response to this that is specific to the fire department. I believe that whatever the district is going to adopt by way of policy should apply uniformly across all district employees, the water department, the administrative staff.
Right. This isn't a state statute or a local, you know, this is a federal thing.
But we're bound by FMLA and we're bound by the state law, but what we don't have is a written policy in regard to usage of accumulated sick time, vacation time, that spells out parameters for that and our district's position.
Right.
And there is room for interpretation in that.
So are you suggesting that it should be a district policy versus a Kootenai Fire Department policy?
That would be my recommendation, yeah.
However, we have a contract in place that references sick time and the utilization of sick time currently. So we're bound by contract there. So you're suggesting that the district should supersede that contract and come up with a policy?
The two wouldn't necessarily be in conflict.
Right.
Our sick time provisions and utilization under contract are not in conflict with the structure of FMLA or of the attendant state policy.
I understand. I guess I shouldn't restate that. So your thought process is let the district create the policy that will actually dictate how the contract can be utilized.
How the terms of the contract, right? Because our contract stops short of that specification. We don't have any established written policy in the district about it. So I believe it really is the.
That's what the town of Barnstable does. The town of Barnstable. This is basically their document. So their document applies to several unions in the town of Barnstable, and the specific language in there that says that. Some of the references some of the collective bargaining agreements, but it oversees a general employee policy.
So yeah.
Are the other employees, just one final question, the other employees within the district, are they union employees or are they not?
FMLA would cover union and non-union.
Yeah,
they are not union.
They don't have a contract per se.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I mean, I think the... I don't see these things at odds. You know, I don't the union collective bargaining agreement is not at odds with the FMLA.
Correct.
I believe what is operant in the world is not a clear understanding of what the hell this thing means, and how potentially something gets protected under the what is protected here is not. Anything other than you can return to your job.
Right. Your position is protected.
Right. And I think if we make that very clear, and people understand that if you're out sick, you're out sick. But as an example, if someone is out sick for oh, I've got, you know, a cold, and they have a cold every week. You know, then it has nothing to do, you as a, or me as the CEO of my company, I'm going to probably think that that employee is less than optimal. That's not what I think the policy that I'm, as I understood the proposal, was to have a policy, and I agree that is probably, we should expand this to a larger conversation. But it's for, as in the case of the Kootenai Fire District, firefighters need to understand that what is allowed and what isn't allowed to be claimed as FMLA due to, you know, however they describe their illness. And if nothing else, say here's what's allowed, here's what the test is of the statute, and here's what it isn't, that would probably go a long way for people understanding what this thing is.
In our current collective bargaining agreement,
probably makes no mention of it, or does it?
It does. It makes mention of the authority of the chief to request medical certification, to, in extreme cases, insist on an independent medical evaluation. We have similar language in the drug and alcohol use section of the contract. So we have the provisions in place in that agreement for the really for us, the board, via the chief, to monitor for potential abuses or misapplications of it.
And this draft document here also puts some additional controls into place and requires 30-day doctor's notes and reviews well out on FMLA, so it adds in addition to what the contract has for.
Yeah,
no,
I read that as well, and I wasn't, I guess there are some, that goes beyond, or it goes
right.
Further than what the original act was, is written, but I think it's great that you're taking a, you know, being the leading edge of this wedge here, number one, and number two, I think it's still a good idea for this conversation to be public, not only here, but also in and around the firehouse, so that people understand this, so that there's no room for misinterpretation.
I would move that we take the step of formally forwarding the draft that you brought to the Prudential Committee for its consideration as a starting point to develop a district-wide policy in regard to these issues.
Second.
Any other discussion? In favor? Pisano?
Zeiss?
Conley.
Done. Oh, you have a copy, good. All right.
Personnel, firefighter Kate Halloran is still at the academy. Her graduation date is the 20th, but it was wrong, it's 22nd, right? It's the 22nd. So we'll be going up there if anybody wants to come
January
with us.
January 22nd?
What's that?
Was that January 22nd?
January 22nd is the graduation day. We'll be going up if anybody wants to come see the academy and attend the graduation ceremony, which is always very good.
Is that the one in Hudson?
Yes. Stowe. Stowe, Mass. Yeah, right next to Hudson. Throw training in here too under personnel?
Sure.
Training, November we did Lieutenant Pouliot set up May Day training, so announced May Day training that everybody accomplished, went through. In December, we're going to be doing medic EMT recertification classes. People are catching up and getting recertification. We'll be doing a vehicle extrication shortly. Junk car out of our parking lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're going to finally watch him cut that up.
Yeah, we were actually waiting for a second car, and we're having trouble getting it. We wanted to do two cars at the same time so we could all train simultaneously.
Uh-huh.
We're having trouble getting one, so we're hopefully getting one soon. So that'll be happening. January, we're talking about live fire training, search and rescue training at the Fire Academy. We've reached out to Calm Fire to see if they will coordinate and do it with us so we can do a joint-type exercise. We're waiting to hear back from them and Joe Pouliot's, Lieutenant Pouliot's looking to schedule that. January 3rd, Chris Dolly has scheduled a sexual harassment class So EAP will be coming out to teach a sexual harassment class on January 3rd at 12:30. We'll be inviting the water department and any prudential or fire commissioners that wish to attend that as well. Okay, that's a Chris. Chris was Chris's idea. It was a great idea, given the climate we're in, to schedule that.
Who's, I forget the name of our EAP contractor.
I don't remember.
I ought to remember. I used to work with him.
I haven't had to call him recently.
Right.
I'll find out for you.
Okay.
Chris Dolly is attending a car seat installation class starting tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So we'll, again, finally have somebody that's qualified to install car seats. I'm not sure if you're familiar. Most of the Cape Fire departments offer that service. Mm-hmm. Parents, new parents come in, and a professional, certified person shows them how to install a car seat. So we'll have somebody again.
Does the public take advantage of that?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. We have, unfortunately, we've been turning them away. We've turned away many people over the last couple months, and we sent them all to Calm Fire. So it's
really
it's not the same as it was when you and I had kids. We just kind of strapped them in and called it good. So I guess that's not good enough anymore. So,
well,
it's a science now.
You let them ride in the car?
The kids? Drunk car, yeah, whatever. Depends how good they were.
Tied to the roof.
Yeah.
You had cars?
Facilities.
Facilities. Septic. So we put the septic system out to bid. Town of Barnstable Procurement Office helped us out a little bit, which was nice. They've been very helpful. So it went out to bid, sealed bids. They were opened up on the 27th of November.
You shared those with us, right?
Yeah. I just need you guys to sign or approve or tell me which one you want to go with. Here's the three. The low bid.
Bortolotti, right?
Was Bortolotti at $36,655. We have
they do a lot of these.
$5,000 appropriated. What's that?
They do a lot of these.
They do a lot of them. Yeah. Yep. The next highest one was $43,900, almost $10,000 more, and the next one was $51,000. So I would make the recommendation we go with Bortolotti. They're local. They have good things about them, and it gives us enough extra money out of the $55,000. So hopefully we can get bids and repave the parking lot in the spring. We pulled the paving out of the contract so that we could.
Right.
Not pay the markup on someone else contracting out over again and guarantee that we have the money at least to get the septic done.
Okay, I move that we accept the bid from Bortolotti.
Second.
In favor, Pisano.
Zace.
Connolly.
There it goes. Where do I sign?
I'll pick a place down the bottom somewhere. Wherever you want.
Amazing, there's a 15 grand swing in that. It's
a huge difference, yeah. And other people who were going to bid on that said it was way over $50,000, so I think we get a really good price.
Right, and as I recall, we also finally got the gas line hooked up for the generator, so that as soon as the...
Yeah, they tunneled under the asphalt to put a gas line in. The meter's not in yet. We're waiting for the plumber. We're getting prices on that. The first price came in at, like, I think it was $2,500 to run a... iron pipe from the generator to where the meter is going to be, which is about 6 feet away. So we're getting more prices.
You know, if I had to do it all over again, there'd be a plumber.
Yeah. Yep.
Amazing.
I know. You're right. So we're waiting on prices to finish the gas up so we can get rid of that propane tank and make room for the septic and more parking. Chris had got some prices. Chris Dolly got the building pressure washed 2 weeks ago. Computers. So
you had started to mention some of this earlier about the computer.
Yeah, we've been doing had a huge project for the at Adam Commissioner Zace has helped out quite a bit. Computers and network upgrades. We get rid of the cans and string, and we have a new computer company who started work yesterday. They came in Secure Networks, and they put virus protection on the computers. They put software that they can remote in, and we've got 24-hour numbers we can call for service. They are in the process of putting our server in the cloud, putting new wireless routers in, a real email system that works. At the same time, we have ImageTrend. We've been talking with them. Their tech people are connecting our ImageTrend to the CAD system at Calm, so they're moving our database more closely associated with Calm so that we can get that data feed. and we're waiting for that to happen. They're talking about mid-January for that. We've signed off with Firehouse to move Firehouse to the cloud and get rid of our server. They anticipate that's going to be done by January 1st. And we're working with the town of Barnstable and Open Cape. The town has fiber in all our buildings, high-speed internet, and it's been sitting there dead for years, and the fiber terminates in Town Hall right next to the Open Cape, which is a nonprofit offering high-speed internet, and we're working through the public process administration to try to get those things connected, and it's been a little painful, but we're hoping to get that done soon and see what the possibilities for high-speed internet for us so we can do.
Oh, it certainly help video-based training.
It's also in the Fire Academy in Barnstable, and they're looking to make use of that more often and do more live-type video training. So that would be good. It's kind of the way of the future, and that's the way things are going to go. So we're trying to get ahead of that as best we can.
All right.
So roofing. We got another price on the roof. Don't have it in front of me, but I think we're looking. We probably want to budget for, $40,000 or so, just to be on the safe side.
It's a big
prevailing wage laws and everything else make it complicated. So I'm hoping we get it done. We get up some better prices when we actually go out to bid, but we want to make sure we just have enough. So we'll be talking about that when we do the budgeting.
Right, and we will have to just see whether or not that has to be a special article.
Right.
Okay. Apparatus.
263 is back in service. They had a new fuel tank put in. Lieutenant McNamara took care of that. He's a vehicle guy. And he had 266 taken out of the water last week, Friday, I think. It was out of the water. It's been serviced over the weekend, and it should be showing up back here at the fire station. So Bosun's Marine serviced it. They're going to shrink wrap it. We're going to be storing it next to the fire station and able to use it in emergency if we have to. So, and we're working, I'm still trying to get a hold of the people that own the dock we have and see if I can work on a contract with them for next year. And we're still working with the town to try to push a little harder to get us a public place on the dock. So I'm going to touch base with them this week and see if we can get some more timetable, more of a firm timetable than when they're going to commit to whatever they're going to commit to.
We still have any open discussion with the Mosquito Yacht Club?
I've been trying to get in touch with them. I've had several emails and phone calls go out to them. I have not gotten in touch with them yet. So they seemed open to the idea before, but I haven't. I'm going to have to go knock on some doors, I think, and see if I can get a hold of the people.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also a good possibility for us. Either way, the boat will be in the water one way or the other. We're not leaving it out of the water.
Okay. New business. We have been in conversation with COM for cooperative coverage arrangement. Have either of you had an opportunity to talk to the chief about this?
No, I haven't. The general topic has come up, but
so we're having we have monthly fire chiefs meeting in Barnstable. So the five fire chiefs meet on a monthly basis and talk about ways we can collaborate, reduce costs. And part of that was come out of some of that is we talk about staffing and how we're all having staffing problems. When our ambulance goes out, our engine goes out, a lot of times the station remains uncovered, that we don't have people coming in sometimes. So, and this is a problem throughout the Cape, probably nationally as well. So COM has offered, and what they're going to make a priority to do is to cover their mill station. So they're our closest neighbor, most reliable neighbor, I think, and most staffed or well-staffed neighbor that we have to help us out. So they said that if our station is empty, they will make an effort to cover the mills to make sure. So if their mill station goes out on a call, they will try to move the Osterville crew to the mills to keep personnel and equipment closer to the Cotillion. So it's they're making an effort to try to better cover us. And by moving their staff around, it's not a net cost to them in there. So they just made that priority. So I figured I would mention that here, that we're working on agreements like that to help out.
Great. Appreciate it.
We have to let them use our boat.
or something in return.
Do we have to? Yeah. No, they've got a nicer boat than we have.
Figured.
Yeah. Yeah. We have been in, you want to talk about this? I mentioned that. The U.S. Forestry, they're the ones that get the surplus boats, and they've talked about maybe the possibility of us getting a 25-foot safe boat like Calm has, and we're exploring that possibility. We're also at the same time talking to the harbor master and the police department about if we get a different resource that maybe multiple agencies could use, how we would share that resource more efficiently in the town and share the expenses more efficiently in the training. So, and have more staff available to help out for emergency when it happens. So that's we're looking into that. I don't have any firm possibilities, but that's something we're talking about.
Good. Any further business? I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
In favor, Pisano.
Zeiss.
Conley.
All done.